Welcome. We're opening the doors to the Radio Thrift Shop. Digging in the crates for 33s, 45s, scratchy 78s, older and newer cassette releases, and compact discs. We're going to find classic rock and pop, jazz, exotica, folk, acoustic, folk rock, indie pop, lo-fi, psychedelic, jam bands, library and production music, easy listening, and just about everything else that tickles my ears. Hopefully it all makes sense by the end of the hour. I'm DJ Frederick. Thank you for tuning in. Let's explore the thrift shop.
Thank you. I can't find the time to tell you. I can't find the time to tell you.
So many things to say. I could
fit 'em in a book, fit 'em in a book of a thousand pages, yeah.
Baby, you're right. Baby, you're right.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, I can't find the time to tell you. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, I can't find the time.
You
every time I see you,
yeah. Like gowns of regal lace that are
flowing to the ground in a mist around you,
baby.
The Boston band Orpheus, no, not the band Boston, the Boston band Orpheus, I Can't Find the Time. Before that, Naz with the first version of Hello, It's Me, before the 45 that was made very famous by Todd Rundgren. Well, if we can't find the time here at the Radio Thrift Shop, we've got quite a collection of clocks. Let's do a time check.
You're listening to Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
softly spoken magic spell.
Regular Maxwell House coffee. Regular Maxwell House coffee. The coffee that tastes as good as you thought it would when you smell that fresh ground aroma. Regular Maxwell House coffee. Good to the last drop.
You're tuned to the homegrown radio magic of Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick.
Thank you.
the Magic Twins with Magic Theme here at the Radio Thrift Shop, where you never know what's going to happen until it happens, and you never know what you're going to hear until you hear it. I'm DJ Frederick, and I'm here every week on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org, and that would be at 10 p.m. on Saturday evenings. So please tune in.
Just keep your dial at the swinging station. The spot with the swinging sound. You'll find it the right spot. You'll find it the bright spot. This is the swinging station in town.
Profile America, Monday, March 1st. FM radio is 80 years old today. In 1941, the first commercial FM station went on the air, W47NV in Nashville, Tennessee. FM, standing for frequency modulation, was first proposed by Edwin Armstrong in 1922. By 1934, he was demonstrating to network officials how FM was unaffected by static, like all the radio stations then on the air, which used AM or amplitude modulation. World War II interrupted the advance of FM broadcasting, which surged in the 1960s when it began transmitting in stereo. Today, some 76,000 people work in around 17,600 licensed radio stations, of which over 13,000 broadcast on the FM band, including low-power FM stations. Profile America is in its 24th year as a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
Welcome back to the Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick. On this half hour of the Thrift Shop, we're going to hear a BBC documentary that celebrates radio. This is called Wireless Nights, Megahertz. Enjoy.
There I was, trawling the megahertz.
You may not realize it, but you are surrounded. Surrounded by thousands of invisible waves. Radio waves. All around you. Right now.
I am telling myself the story of my life, stranger and song of fiction. We start with the joyful mysteries before the appearance of ether, trying to capture the elusive. The farm where the crippled horses heal, the woods where autumn is reversed, and the longing for bliss in the arms of some beloved from the past.
Tonight on Wireless Nights, we will hear stories from those who broadcast, monitor, or harvest these waves. People like Paddy McAloon, composer and singer with Prefab Sprout, who took to trawling the megahertz as the visible world around him began to grow dark.
I had eye surgery and wasn't allowed to do certain things, you know, to do with posture and what have you. I had trouble in both eyes within the space of a year or two. And at the time, you know, I thought, well, what if I can't see? What if this is just, you know, if I'm, you know, in my 40s and I'm going to go blind? So spent a lot of time with this enforced layoff period, you know, just lying there.
Tonight, contrary to the usual advice, we are saying, please do adjust your set. You never know what you might find out there.
I would be listening to the radio late at night, and I would have a cassette player that had a built-in radio, and I had a scanner. And with the lights out, you know, I had at the time the painkillers and the aftermath of surgery would put you in that woozy state where you're passive. So I did a lot of lolling about, really, just collecting things and listening to whatever was coming my way.
Paddy recorded the voices he caught in his net and then compiled them into a stream of conscious narrative, later recited over his music by Yvonne Connors.
In the subterranean world of anesthetics, sad white canoes are forever sailing downstream in the early hours of the morning. Tell the stars I'm coming. Make them leave a space for me.
Paddy is listening to shortwave transmissions. Despite what that name may suggest, shortwave broadcasts can travel huge distances around the Earth. But we're about to meet someone who goes a lot further than that. Peter Blair is a moon bouncer.
The Earth is rotating. You know, the moon goes across the sky, and so you need to keep track of it. So every 45 seconds, I move it on to keep it on the moon.
In a field in his garden in North Hampshire, a giant homemade satellite dish slowly gyrates until it locks onto its target.
So it's a 6 metre diameter parabolic dish. At the moment, it's pointing up at the moon. You can see it up there, nicely poised in the sky. It's a nice, still night tonight.
Hold tight. We're about to travel to the moon and back, without moving a muscle.
By day and night, fancy electronic dishes are trained on the heavens. They are listening for smudged echoes of the moment of creation. They are listening for the ghost of a chance.
G3LTF, testing on moon bounce.
They may help us make sense of who we are and where we came from. And as a compassionate side effect, teach us that nothing is ever lost.
G3LTF, testing.
So out of this dish goes a Morse message or my voice, and it goes 250,000 miles up to the moon, bounces off it, scattered back all the way across the globe, anywhere that can see the moon, and then it's picked up by somebody with another dish, or me if I'm listening to my echoes, and comes out as an audio signal out of the speaker.
So I rake the sky. I listen hard. I trawl the megahertz.
I started to tape all kinds of things late at night, which I suppose is the time where ordinary sounds through the ether appear most ghostly. And a lot of the people who've got things on their chest and want to share them, commit them to the airwaves, whether it's someone in a car on a citizen's band radio. Or someone or a ham operator somewhere. You hear things from different time zones.
Some of the most despicable creatures to ever populate the planet.
That's the sort of time that the imagination is naturally prone to either hear things that aren't there or to be particularly sensitive to the implications of the things that you're overhearing.
It just feels like there's this vast space. There are these sort of signals inhabiting it. You're essentially just exploring that space and seeing what's there with X-ray goggles on, or, you know, a different set of eyes, really.
One of the many mysterious numbers stations broadcasting on shortwave. No one's quite sure what the numbers represent, but you can be fairly sure it's not the lottery results. Espionage is the most common explanation. A fitting time to introduce our next contributor, a man who wishes to be known only as London Shortwave, setting up his equipment in an unidentified London park.
All we really need now is just some tree branches to chuck our antenna over. The higher up we get it, the more signals we'll get.
Darkness is falling in the park. So this should be good. People have gone home. It's just one man and his wireless under a tree.
What we need to bear in mind is that the best reception that we're going to get is just before and just after sunset, because there's this thing called the grey line, and it's the boundary between night and day on the daylight map.
The grey line is the line that divides day and night, the time when shortwave signals travel around the world quickest. Just as dreams and flashes of inspiration are strongest in that hazy area between waking and sleeping.
Just now we're going to get some pretty good propagation from all over the world, really.
The grey line. Have I seen that on the tube map? A fast-track service to the outer limits.
Just show after show was selling out, and they had to keep layering them up, please. So it's good that you're playing so many while you're here, Julian. Your album, Sprained Ankle, to another two.
Tuning around. That's Morocco. There is that feeling of companionship when you're picking up a familiar signal. You enjoy listening to them. There is this feeling of seeing an old friend almost. And because it's not effortless, because it's not at the push of a single button that you really need to think about what you're doing, it makes it more rewarding.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brother Stair. Received phone call today again of people weeping and crying. An email from someone I did wrong back in 1996. Will you forgive me and let me come back? And I just said to him, I can't open the door.
I don't think I'll get off at this station.
When God's shut the door, he shuts it.
Not exactly words of comfort, are they? But we're about to hear from someone who certainly felt like the door was not only shut on him, but then locked and the key thrown away. Back in 2008, Daily Telegraph journalist Colin Freeman was covering the story of Somali pirates taking hostages, when he was suddenly taken hostage himself and transported to a secret location.
As we were walking across the landscape, it was a very, very barren, empty landscape. There was no sign of civilization anywhere, no people, no houses, not even any pathways. I think we saw one other person in the whole 2 days that we were walking. Quite often we would move under the cover of darkness because that was a safer time for the group to move hostages, obviously. The stars would come up, we could see a lot of the stars because there was no light pollution at all, and that the moonlight would come up eventually and it would illuminate the trees, barren, wasted looking thorn trees that are about the only things that survive in that landscape, all crouched over like witches round a pot, a lot of them.
Colin doesn't know where he's going. Peter doesn't know who he'll pick up on his receiver. The night is full of strangers, calling out and searching in the dark as the moon climbs high above them.
Wherever the moon can be seen, then the signal's coming down. Now, I can see on this screen that somebody else is there, and you can see the little dashes on there, and there are other people who are transmitting, and there's somebody there a little bit higher than we are, so I'm going to see if I can get up somewhere near their frequency and give them a call.
Peter picked up a message from artist Katie Patterson. She hoped that he could help her realise her dream of sending Ludwig van Beethoven into space.
That's what's so special about the moon, that it feels like you could almost touch it. You know, it's kind of close enough to Earth, and it controls the Earth and it controls the waves and so on. So I think for me it's something about the distance of the moon and the untouchability of it, but yet that it's so bonded to us and bonded to Earth. And so, yeah, all of these incredible signals that are going on between us on Earth and the moon. And so it's this vast distance between us and the moon and collapsing this distance that I've been interested in.
It's gone up to the moon and back, and anybody that can see the moon would be able to receive that signal, providing they had a sensitive enough system. oh, hang on. That's somebody. Okay, that's somebody now on our frequency calling back. That probably means that the dash 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 means they're peaking their antenna on the moon. I must just spend a bit of time listening. My friend says I have ears like a bat, but I think that's just because I've been listening to more signals deep in the noise for more years than I care to think about.
Well, I'm not great with languages, and I certainly don't speak Morse. You know, Morse code. I'm not even sure about SOS. Is it dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot? Or dash, 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 dot, 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 dash, dash, dash? Do you know? Well, it might come in handy one day.
The first cave we stayed in was really just a kind of overhang in the rocks. We got in there, and it was clear from the body language of the gang, even though they didn't speak any English, that this was somewhere that we were going to be staying for the foreseeable future. And there was a fire being laid and so on. A fortnight in to our captivity, one of the kidnappers had this small radio. I'm not sure what he was listening to on it. We couldn't understand. He came over and gestured, "Do you want this radio to listen to?" And so we took it off him. So we got the radio and we started tuning it to the best of our ability.
We're now closing on 15.22 megahertz.
And eventually, amid a lot of fuzz, I heard what I knew to be the distinctive sounds and voice of the World Service.
This is London.
It was obviously great to have something by means of a lifeline to the outside world. Given that it was, I think, about 10 days had passed since we were caught, I wasn't really expecting to hear any news of us on the radio, although obviously that was the first thing you listened out for when you heard the news broadcasts.
It's completely dark now, so hopefully we'll be able to pull in quite a few more things. That sounds might be either Ethiopian or Eritrean. Not sure. I was born in Moscow. I came to the UK for secondary school. So we were still sort of well behind the Iron Curtain at the time. At about the age of 6, my grandfather showed me an old valve radio called Rigonda that had shortwave bands on it. He tuned it round a bit and showed me some signals from Central Asia, some signals from Poland and the Czech Republic, and obviously those languages sounded like nothing I'd ever heard before. I think it's Ethiopia because I just heard the word Oromo, which is one of the languages spoken in Ethiopia.
The world and its languages all pour out of London Shortwave's receiver and into his ear as he sits in the cold night, invisible in the darkness, but for the tiny red light on his radio.
What I found really wonderful was that not all of the information that you send comes back from the moon. Like, the moon kind of swallows some of it or kind of just disrupts some of that information. So when you send a signal, because of the lunar surface and the craters, not everything comes back to Earth. So it's almost like the moon is kind of communicating with you as well. So that's when I decided to send Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata to the moon and send on this journey through space and back to Earth. And started lots of contact with moon bouncers all over the UK and abroad, and somehow I got directed to Peter Blair, who was and is a kind of authority on moon bouncing.
It was really interesting that it was the Moonlight Sonata, because I remember as a child my mother playing that on the piano, probably one of the first pieces of classical music that I heard.
So So we sent the Moonlight Sonata from Southampton, and then it beamed from the moon and then was received in Sweden by another moon bouncer. And I just love to imagine the journey that it's gone on, you know, all the way from Southampton up 250,000 miles through the stratosphere and the atmosphere and so on, and then it's kind of hit the moon and then travelled all the way back to Earth. So it's warped, you know, the whole signal's become warped and twisted. So the whole Moonlight Sonata got kind of altered by the moon, as it were, off reflected literally from the surface of the moon. This Morse code sound that you hear sounds kind of distant and eerie and quite melancholy. And it's from there that we took the Morse code sound and then translated that back into a new score.
The Moonlight Sonata, as remixed by the moon itself. Now that's not something you hear every night. Not even on pirate radio. Speaking of which, how's Colin getting on?
The signal was never more than fairly faint anyway, and it kept on coming in and coming out. Most of the time you had to kind of lie with your ear quite close to the speaker and tune in to the sound above the roar of the Somali pirates making noise. Night times were actually quite a good time in the cave. You could find a certain peace looking out at the stars and thinking, you know, somewhere over there on the far side of the planet, your nearest and dearest, my girlfriend Jane and my family would be thinking about me. And, you know, you know they are thinking about you because, at least you hope they are anyway.
There are two ways of looking at this. The first is to accept that you are gone and to light a candle at the shrine of amnesia. I could even cheat. Tell the stars I'm coming. Make them leave a space for me. Whether bones or dust or ashes.
To listen to the radio late at night, you know, I listened an awful lot in the 70s, in particular when I was a teenage boy.
Paddy's story reminds me of one of my own. A 14-year-old boy turning the radio dial, desperate to hear some of this new wave music he's read so much about. About to give up. And then...
The Stranglers, and that, of course, is Peaches, and I'm not quite sure why that's not getting played on the radio. It's a pity that it isn't, because it's an excellent record.
And life was never the same again.
Back then, I was as equally interested in electronic music and sort of stumbled over some of it myself when I'd been acting as a human aerial with a cassette player where I'd plugged in a couple of wires into the wrong socket and picked up these very, very strange sounds, which I realise now were just the normal atmospherics that you get late at night if you're turning the radio dial. Even before you hear a voice or someone actually transmitting a message, the ethereal sounds that are out there can play on your imagination. You can imagine voices, you can imagine whispering. I like to think of it really as a sort of ghostly romance.
It's really difficult to know how many people are listening. That's the one downside of shortwave, is you have no idea. Maybe nobody is. Maybe it's just us.
Never give up. There's always somebody out there listening. I mean, you're listening to this right now, aren't you? Aren't you?
Christmas Day came and it was pretty grim. We'd been in the cave for about 4 weeks by then, I think, and we'd hoped to actually be out by Christmas. We'd been told that we might, and then things went wrong and it was looking like we wouldn't get out until the new year at the earliest, and quite possibly a lot longer than that. So there was a bit of a sense of hopelessness.
Breathe, oh, be breathe, oh,
We couldn't even get the World Service that evening on the radio, and in the end, the last thing I heard before I went to sleep was a choir from some Indian radio station singing Come All Ye Faithful in very high, childlike voices. It might have been a child's choir. And I remember thinking at that moment, you know, I never felt so lonely in all my life, really.
Dear Brother Stair, I've only just found your shortwave site. So amazing to hear, but such heavy message. Without you preaching, I would have never understood how short this time is for this world.
You are listening, aren't you? Or have you nodded off again? Are you receiving me? Over.
This is a Dutch friend of mine. It's called Jack. That's very good that he's on. So he's turned it over. Papa Alpha 3, Delta Zulu Lima. Golf 3, Lima, Tango Fox returning. Good afternoon, Jack. Good afternoon, Jack. Very good of you to be on. Very good of you to be on. Your nice signal. I'll give you a report on the next over. So how are you copying me? PA3DZL, G3LTF. Over.
Now, to my ears, Peter's friend Jack sounds rather like one of those alien robots that used to advertise instant mashed potato on TV a number of years ago. You too.
Jack's a great guy. Somewhere near Amsterdam, I think, had some good ties with him.
I never really sort of heard much about the negotiations and what it was that led to our release directly, but they asked for $3 million each for both of us. It's a story that I will one day tell my children. I haven't told them yet. Most of the pirates they know are Johnny Depp and the pirates that they have in their storybooks at school and so on, who are all kind of like rather jolly ho-ho-ho types, but I will have to tell them one day.
A lot of the time I would fall asleep listening to something. Later on, I would piece things together and say, what was that I heard last night? And my imagination had joined things up that didn't actually belong together. And you are playing dice with the radio dial, with the luxury of being able to do it all over again the next night, or in half an hour's time, or in 3 weeks' time, if you aren't too sure what you've caught.
Playing dice with the radio. Sounds like Paddy anticipated Wireless Nights years before it became a reality. And you'll be glad to know that his eyesight has recovered and his nights trawling the megahertz are behind him. Time for us to haul in the nets too and head back to our home port. Not a bad catch tonight, though, eh? The sounds of humanity mixed with the sounds of the cosmos.
So, I rake the sky. I listen hard. I trawl the megahertz. But the net isn't fine enough, and I miss you. A swan sailing between two continents. A ghost immune to radar.
The signals are fading out. We're not really picking up that much more. I think it's time for us to pack things up and go home.
Still, my eyes are fixed upon the place I last saw you. Your signal urgent but breaking. Before you became cotton in a blizzard, a plane coming down behind enemy lines.
Like Wireless Nights, it seems that the world of shortwave radio is nocturnal. Night fishing, if you like. Well, I hope you catch the big one tonight. And if you still have a radio with a dial on it, why not turn it now? You never know where you might end up. Thanks for sailing with us tonight. It's been Mega Hertz.
And I'm DJ Frederick. This has been The Radio Thrift Shop.